Well, greetings again, brethren. I'd like to just take a few minutes tonight in the middle of this programming to cover like a mini Bible study, if I could. And if you would, just I'll begin in Revelation 3, verse 19, where Christ says, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, therefore be zealous and repent." So this is what Jesus Christ is saying to his people today, to all of his church, because Matthew 25, verse 5 says that we all fell asleep. We all slumbered and slept. And so some are waking up, but Christ wants us to repent, which means to turn back to something. And we've made that clear over and over through our website, what that means, to turn back to that foundation of truth that God revealed to us through his end time Elijah, and that Zerubbabel, that Philadelphia messenger. So we have a choice as God's people to repent now or later in the tribulation when it comes. And that tribulation may be coming much more sooner than later by the signs that are in the world right now. Also, the spiritual condition of God's people today. But I want to touch on a prayer that's mentioned in Daniel chapter 9 and just go through this quickly because it's something that we all should be doing right now spiritually and getting back to something. And this prayer is a prayer of repentance from Daniel. So let's begin in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 4. And Daniel said, I prayed unto the eternal my God and made confession. So he was confessing his sins and said, O Lord God, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. So identifies someone right there. Verse 5, we have sinned and committed iniquity. That's lawlessness. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. So that's what's happened here in this end time with God's own people. See, this is a prayer of repentance from someone who had God's commandments. This was Daniel speaking here, and he had God's Holy Spirit. Notice verse 6, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land. Well, this applies to us right here today in the end time. God did send a man here in the end time to restore all things. And in the last book of the Bible, Malachi chapter 4, the God of the Old Testament, Jesus Christ, says, I will send Elijah the prophet before the dreadful coming of the day of the Lord. And he did do that. Now, Mr. Armstrong did mention one time that he was not the person Elijah. And he also mentioned that he was not a prophet. But he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle simply means one sent. So, but also, and you look at, if you look at what it says there in Malachi 4, another translation says, God says, I'll send one in the spirit and power of Elijah. And Mr. Armstrong did say that he did fulfill that office. He did come in that spirit and power of Elijah, and Elijah was a prophet. See, so Mr. Armstrong did come in that office, and he said it many times in his sermons, especially in the early to mid 80s, that he did fulfill that office. So, and what did he do in that office? He went to many kings. See, he went to world leaders. So look at verse 6 again. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. So that was fulfilled. Notice verse 7. O eternal, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day to the men of Judah. Now Judah is a type of spiritual Israel. We are spiritual Jews. To the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel. Jerusalem also is a type of the church. Those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. Excuse me. So that is what has happened today. God's people have been scattered spiritually. We're scattered and splintered and divided. And that scattering is going to happen even more soon when God's people are caught in the coming captivity of the physical nations of Israel. The spiritual nation will be caught in that captivity as well if we don't repent. Notice verse 8. O eternal, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. Verse 9. to the Eternal our God belong mercy and forgiveness that we have rebelled against him. Verse 10, we have not obeyed the voice of the Eternal our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. So we have not obeyed as a church this end time. We have not obeyed the voice of God. And what was that one voice? See, that voice. It was a voice that of his prophet, his apostle, the one sent, that he sent to restore all things, to show us the way to the true God. We've not obeyed that voice, see? Notice verse 11. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. See? Voice again. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. Well, this is what is happening now. This division in God has withdrawn himself from the vast majority of his own people. And it's going to get worse when the tribulation comes and God's people are caught in it. That curse is going to be upon God's people, and indeed it already is. Verse 12, and he has confirmed his words which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us by bringing upon us great disaster. For under the whole heaven such has never been done as to what has been done to Jerusalem. Well, brethren, think about what this means. What's already happened in this end time, in the last 20, 21 years since the death of Mr. Armstrong, there's never in the history of any organization or church been the destruction or the things that have happened as we've seen, witnessed with our own eyes, to God's own church, divided into over 400 splinter groups now, in multiple thousands of individuals, each doing it their own way, their own viewpoint rather than God's viewpoint. And it's going to get worse, because when God's people are caught in a tribulation, that's a time of great distress and trouble that Christ speaks of in Matthew 24, that there has never been such a time in the history, nor ever or ever shall be again. Notice verse 13, as it is written, the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Eternal our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. See, it's about truth and understanding it. And the reason why they don't understand it is because it just tells us right there, because we've not turned from our iniquities. So that's what God is wanting his people to do today. That's what Christ is telling us there in Revelation 3. Anoint your eyes so that you can see, repent, turn back to something, to what you had there. It says in Revelation 3:11, hold fast to what you have, to the Philadelphia era, so that no man take your crown. Well, as we went into the Laodicean era, that next condition or era of God's church, we failed to do that last command that Christ gave us from the previous era. We failed to hold fast. Instead, we went spiritually asleep. We lost faith, went to sleep, and fell away from God's truth. Verse 14, therefore the Eternal has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. See, that's what is going to happen, brethren. To some degree, spiritually speaking, it already has happened. You look at the spiritual condition of God's church today, but that disaster is going to be filled in a huge physical way very soon when this disaster comes upon this nation or the nations of Israel, and God's own people are caught in it, and they think they're going to be protected from it, but they're not. We'll go on and read on. Verse 14, therefore the Eternal has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all his of the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. There we go again with not obeying that voice. Verse 15, and now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned. We have done wickedly. This is God's people today, brethren. Verse 16, O Eternal, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. As we'll see, that is speaking about his church, because Jerusalem is a type of the church. And we've covered here recently in a couple of messages what that city means. And you look in the book of Lamentations and you get a clearer understanding. We'll continue on. Your holy mountain, because of our sins. See, it's because of our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now, therefore, O God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Eternal's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. So now we're really getting specific about who this is about. See, God's sanctuary, his temple, his church. And it is what? It's desolate today. See, it is desolate. What a horrible state to find ourselves in spiritually. Verse 18, O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see your desolations in the city, which is what? Called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Excuse me. So see, there is hope because God is merciful. And that's our only hope. But that verse also, again, pinpoints who this is referring to. It's God's people, God's church. Verse 19, O eternal, hear. O eternal, forgive. O eternal, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God. For your city and your people are called by your name. So this is referring to God's own people, my friends and brethren. And so the message today that to God's people, as Christ makes it more and more clear through his word, he is our teacher, he is our instructor and master, and he says in Revelation 3 there to repent. Be zealous therefore and repent. So this is a prayer that if all of God's people today would sincerely pray this and understand what it really means, the depth of understanding of what it means, it would save us from a lot of disaster that's about to come upon us. And there is a way of escape. See, there is a way of escape, because Revelation chapter 12 shows that there are some, and it may not be many, but there are some that are going to be protected and taken from this time of trouble that's soon to come upon us, come upon all of us. So this is something to think about and meditate on, is this prayer of Daniel here in chapter 9.